Shister Shchelel, Yengolait, Tzibur. Beginning as always to thank David. Tonight I would like to thank you for allowing me to force myself to be mechuzik. And by preparing divrei chizuk for you, I was along the way very much mechuzik. And Mirz Hashem, I hope that you will be mechuzik as well. I'm grateful to the community for allowing me to grow in this in all areas of Avodas Hashem of these past 6 years. And Mirz Hashem, by this prayer, that we'll discuss it a little more in length. We are now into the second week of the Bein HaMetzarim, and in a few days we are going to be entering the point of the Bein HaMetzarim where the level of the Avelos gets stronger. The level of the Avelos over the Churban Habayis, the mourning over the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we get stronger with the coming of Rosh Chodesh Av and the 9 days. Chazal gave us a very wonderful gift. The gift of Halacha and the guidelines of the Bein HaMetzarim. Really, a person all year long should be thinking about Yerushalayim, should be thinking about the Churban Habayis, should be thinking about the Kvod HaShechina, should be thinking about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash returning and HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming. But unfortunately, we get caught up and we forget and we run through life and we don't have a proper respect. So Chazal set up for us 3 weeks with halachas and guidelines to assist us in at least during these time of Bein HaMetzarim that we should think about the Avelos, we should think about the Shechina, we should think about the return, and we think about Mashiach coming. And when you look in the mirror during the 3 weeks and you see that your hair is unkept and you're bored in the car and you want to listen to music and you stop and you don't turn on the music, you think about the Avelos, and it's a constant, the person should try to have it constantly on his mind and try to be mechazik in himself in all areas of thinking about the Avelos of the Churban Habayis, because we know Chazal tell us, Kol Mesabla Yerushalayim Zeicha V'Roya Ben Nechamasa. If you mourn over Yerushalayim and if you think about Yerushalayim, then you're going to be Zeicha Mirz Hashem to see in the Nechama, and we'll be Zeicha to see in the Nechama. Tonight's message is based upon a shmuz that I heard. It's all from the shmuz that I heard from the Laker Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Rucham Olshin, and the shmuz in Parshas Matis Masei. In Parshas Matis we find right after Klal Yisrael fights with the Midyanim, and they have a war with the Midyanim, and they take over from the Midyanim, and they take their booty from the Midyanim. The pasuk tells us in Perek Lamed Beis Vayishishi in Parshas Matis, it says a Mikne Rav Hayu LeBnei Rod and LeGuven. There were two Shvatim, the Bnei Ruven and the Bnei Gad, and they had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of flock, as the Medrash tells us that they became very rich from the booty, from the shalal of the Midyanim. From the fighting the war with the Midyanim, they became very rich. They had a lot of Mikne Rav. They had sheep, they had cattle, and they needed something. And they decided that to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, this place of Eivor HaYarden, of not going into Eretz Yisrael, it's again, this is the time period that we're up to is the last year, the 40th year of the Midbar. And Klal Yisrael is about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And here comes the Bnei Gad of Bnei Reuven, and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to stay here. We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. We want to stay here and build our families here and build cities here and build a place for our sheep to be able to flourish and to graze and pasture in the land over here. We want to stay here. We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden gets very upset, and he tells them, why are you going to dissuade the hearts of Klal Yisrael by showing them that you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? If you're going to show them that you want to stay here and not go into Eretz Yisrael, that's like the Meraglim did. That's like the spies did many years earlier, 40 years earlier, that they convince Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael is not a good place. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Bnei Gad and says, how could you do such a thing? How could you not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? You're going to make everybody not want to persuade everyone from going into Eretz Yisrael. And Bnei Gad and says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, we are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to help Klal Yisrael fight all the wars. We're going to help Klal Yisrael conquer the land. We're going to help Klal Yisrael divide the land, and then we'll go back home. And they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to set up shop here for our cattle and for our families, and we, the men who are able to go and fight in war, will go into Eretz Yisrael and help Klal Yisrael fight the war. We will not settle here until Eretz Yisrael is settled. And that way, Moshe Rabbeinu made the famous Tanai, the condition, Bnei Gad of Bnei Reuven, that they made them make a condition that the only way that they can acquire the land of Eivor HaYarden, of not going to Eretz Yisrael, was only if they go into Eretz Yisrael and fight. And if they don't go and fight, then they cannot get the land of Eretz Yisrael. They cannot get the land of Eivor HaYarden. So it's seemingly, it's a simple business decision. They made a very, they had their business, they flourished, their business was a flourishing business of selling sheep, or whatever they did with their sheep, their mikne rav, their tzayin. They had a business. And they thought that it was a very good business decision if they would stay in the land of Eivar HaYarden, because the land of Eivar HaYarden would give them a lot of space to pasture their cattle, to pasture their flock. So they made a decision, and they decided that we want to stay here. We find in Chazal two different views about this idea. If this was a good idea or not a good idea, and if the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven should stay in the Eivar HaYarden. The Medrash in Parshas Vayetze, it's brought down in the Yalkut in Parshas Matos, it says like this. It says, Chanoich l'nar al pi darkoi. Train and be mechanich your young child on his way. Gam ki yaskin l'yasar imenu. So why do we train a child? We train him that even when he gets older, he should continue on the ways that we trained him when he was younger. And where do we learn this out from? K'siv vayelech Reuven bimei kitzir chitim. There's a story in Parshas Vayetze that Reuven went out, and he went during the time bimei kitzir chitim, bimei in the days of kitzir chitim, and he went and he picked these flowers called dudaim, and he was bringing them to his mother Leah, and Rachel wanted them, and the story goes on that Rachel took them from Reuven instead of Leah, and the Rashi over there and the Medrash over there points out what does it mean he went out bimei kitzir chitim in the days of kitzir chitim. Rashi says that Reuven and the Shvatim were careful about gezela. They were careful about stealing. They didn't want to steal, so therefore they wouldn't pick dudaim from the ground just randomly. Only bimei kitzir chitim, that it was considered hefker, whatever the time was, that it was considered hefker, it was considered ownerless, it was considered ownerless property, the dudaim that he picked. He went and he picked them. So Reuven and the Shvatim were careful in the inyan of gezela and the isra of gezela. And the pasuk over here in the Med Yalkut brings it down over here too. Because later on we find that when the Bnei Reuven wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because they wanted their sheep to be able to pasture in the land, and were worried that if they go into Eretz Yisrael and their land is not as big as they would like it to be, then maybe their sheep would steal from others. And therefore they said, we have a good plan. Let's set up shop, but let's live in the land of Eivar HaYarden, and that way there'll be plenty of pasture of land, and that way our sheep wouldn't steal from anybody. So seemingly, the decision to stay in Eivar HaYarden and not go into Eretz Yisrael was a very legitimate decision to stay here in order not to be careful that their sheep shouldn't steal from others. Her Baron Cutler explains a famous explanation, and he says these people were Ashirim, they were Tzadikim, and all they wanted too was to be able to sit and learn the Menuchas HaNefesh. They wanted the money, they wanted to that their business should flourish by itself, and that way they would have enough money to support their families and support their children, and that they can sit and learn. So the reason why they wanted to stay in Eivar HaYarden was because they wanted a good business, and they made a business decision to allow their business to flourish was that they stayed in Eivar HaYarden. And all they wanted was just for Menuchas HaNefesh to learn Torah. In another Medrash we find that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, the Bnei Gad were Ashirim, they were rich people, but they had an unbelievable midah of chesed. The Kli Yakar says in Parshas Vezayis HaBracha that what does it mean? What is the word God is spelled Gimel Dalet, and it refers to Gimel Dalet. That the Bnei Gad were Gimel Dalet. There are people who gave to poor people. So the Bnei Gad, the essence of Bnei Gad was that they were Gimel Dalet. Why do people become rich? Why is there such a thing called rich people? The rich people are there in order to be able to give money to others. And the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were Bnei Gad were obviously very rich, and their essence was they were rich because they understood that they have to be Gimel Dalet, they have to give others. And Bnei Reuven, Rabbi Yochum explains that they were from the Bechirim, they were supposed to be the kings, and a king's essence of a king, the essence of someone who's in charge, is to make sure to worry about the needs of the nation. So there are two people, two Shvatim, of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, that were all for being there for others. And all they wanted was their business to flourish and to make themselves money, that way they can give to others and help others, learn Torah and not steal. So it seems like that their decision was a legitimate request and a legitimate decision. But we find the Chazal, that the Pasuk in Mishnah tells us like this. The Pasuk says, Nachla mevuheles barishayna v'acharisa loy sevarich. The Pasuk in Mishnah says, Nachla, the inheritance, mevuheles barishayna, that was quick, confused, anxious quickly. That was done very quickly in the beginning. Was taken very quickly in the beginning. Was taken with a bahala, with a confusion, with an anxiously in the beginning. Va'acharisa, and in the end, lo sevarech, it wasn't blessed. What does it mean? Rashi on this on Mishlei tells us that it's referring to the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. They came bibahala. They came with a very big haste, with a very big quickness. They're very anxious to get and acquire this land of Eretz of Eber HaYarden. They came very quickly to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu. They even forgot. They changed the right way of saying things. Because usually when you request from some, usually when you set up a house, you set up a house for your children, your wives, and your children, and then you take care of your barn for your animals. But they went and told Moshe Rabbeinu, we need to set up a barn for our animals and a place for our children and our wives to settle in. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, hold on, wait, let's slow down. Look, you know what you just said? You just said that your animals are more important than your children. You set up shop, set up a place to live for your families and for your children, and then set up a place for your animals. So they came with a very very anxious to make sure that their business flourishes. And the pasuk says, "Nachalasa muvuhelas barishayna," the nachla, their inheritance that was taken very quickly in the beginning, at the end, lois sevarich. What does that mean? Va'acharisa lois sevarich, and in the end, they weren't blessed. And Rashi quotes from a medrash that they were the first ones to go into Golus. When the Churban HaBayis, when the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash came, the first three Shvatim, two and a half Shvatim, to go into Galus, to be sent out many years, Kama Shanim, many years before other Shvatim in Klal Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, in the times of the Churban HaBayis, were the Bnei Gad, the Bnei Reuven, and the Chetzi Shevet Menashe, the half Shevet Menashe, who stayed in Eber HaYarden. Those who didn't move into Eretz Yisrael, they were the ones to first go into Galus. The Pasuk is telling us that because of their haste, because of their anxiousness to get and to acquire more wealth, they were sentenced to be going to Galus first before any other of the Shvatim. So here we see that this legitimate decision, this decision that they made not to steal, the decision to made in order to get the money, in order that they should grow in Avodas Hashem, the decision that they made in order to be able to give to poor people, that wasn't a right decision enough. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take that and show them, giving them a punishment of bringing them in, taking them to Galus first. And if you read the Medrash Tanchuma says, this is the Medrash Tanchuma says, "V'chein atamaitzim b'nei gadim Reuven shayu ashir, b'nei gadim Reuven were rich people, and they had a lot of cattle, and they loved v'chibavu es mamaynam, they loved their money, v'yashv lam chutz me'eretz Yisrael, and they settled outside of Eretz Yisrael, l'fikach, therefore," the Medrash Tanchuma says, "galu techila," they went into exile first, mikol ha'shvatim, from all the shvatim. "Umi garam lahem," and what caused it? "Ashe efishu atzma menachem b'shvil kinyan," and they separated themselves from their brothers in Eretz Yisrael because of their possessions. They were more worried about their possessions. So why? And what is the Mida Keneged Mida? Why, if they were doing chesed? Why, if they were not stealing? Why were they doing Avodas Hashem? Why did they go to Galus first? Why, with such good cheshbonos, such good calculations, and such good decisions, why were they destined to go into Galus first? And we can even ask ourselves, and I was asking myself, I said, you know, I always look around, and you say, look, there's so much chesed in the world. There's Bikur Chaylim, there's Hatzalah, there's Torah, there's Kailim, there's so many yeshivas, there's so many good things. And why is Mashiach not coming? Why is Mashiach not coming? Same question we can ask to ourselves. Why is Mashiach not coming? And perhaps tonight, with understanding of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, maybe it's something we can read from the Chuzik, and maybe we can bring the Gula a little closer. And Rav Aaron Kotler explains that although they had a good cheshbonos, they gave up on a very important, essential part of life, which is a tremendous lesson for us and for a yid for every day. That you might be doing the biggest mitzvah, and you might be doing the biggest chesed, but you need to make sure that you're not giving up on any kedusha. You're not giving up on kedusha. Every decision of a yid needs to be dependent upon what will bring you and your family more kedusha. What will bring more kedusha into your life? The Bnei Gad and Reuven were tzaddikim, but they made a frumer cheshbon. The frumer cheshbon, they were very anxious for money, to do good things with their money, but they gave up on kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The land of Eretz Eber HaYarden has a kedusha, but not as great of a kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. And they gave up on kedusha Says Rav Aaron, that's the reason why they were punished. The reason why they were punished, if they went into Galus first, is because if you give up on Kedusha, then you are showing a lack of respect for the Kedusha. When you show a lack of respect for Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're showing a lack of respect for Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, you'll be the first ones to leave, and there won't be any Kedusha left. A person that gives up on Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spirals him, unfortunately, downhill until that Kedusha is taken away from him. You'll be sent into Galus first. So if you give up on Kedusha, you might not get that opportunity again. And we have to understand in our lives, every decision that a person makes has to be a decision. What will bring me more Kedusha? What will bring my life and my family more Kedusha? Which shul I'm going to daven in? Which school I'm going to send my child to? Which clothing I'm going to wear? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What store am I going to shop in? Those decisions should be made. What will bring you more Kedusha? And every decision through life should be with that. And that's the B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, the lesson that we unfortunately learned from them. That even though they were doing great things, they were doing chesed, they were doing mitzvahs, they were doing good things, they were learning Torah, but they gave up on Kedusha. The decision was obviously considered wrong, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send them into Galus first. So Rabbi Yerucham explains another possible understanding why they were sent into Galus first. The understanding of Rabbi Aaron Kadar was because they gave up on Kedusha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away their Kedusha first. If you show a lack of respect for the Kedusha, then you unfortunately have to go away first from the Kedusha. But Rabbi Yerucham also explains a little bit and a little different understanding of why being anxious about money, why loving money, and why being this Bahala about money, why that caused them to go into Galus first. And we find in Chazal a number of reasons why Klal Yisrael had to go to Chorban HaBayis, why they had to have the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We find that the oven of the Meragim, the sin of the spies, that they went and spied in Eretz Yisrael. We know that night they came back from spying in Eretz Yisrael. It was Tisha B'Av, and they cried that night. Klal Yisrael cried with the Meragim that Eretz Yisrael is not a good place. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're finished. Tonight is going to be a night of crying forever. There's going to be a Chorban HaBayis Rishon, Chorban HaBayis Sheni on this night. And because of that sin of the Meraglim, we suffer today with Chorban HaBayis. We find in Chazal that because of the Gimel Averis Chamures, the Gimel Averis Shvichas Damim, Gimel Arayis, and Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael were over those Averis, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them out of Eretz Yisrael. We find another Chazal that because the people didn't keep Shemitah, the oven of Bittul Shemitah, they did not keep the laws of Shemitah the seventh year of letting the land stay and barren, they didn't keep to those laws, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, out, you're out of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is quoted by the Maral in Netzach Yisrael, tells us that the Gemara asks the following question: Mipnei ma laku be'echa? Why was Klal Yisrael hit and punished with Echa, with the words Echa? We know we say Megillas Echa and Echa Yashva Vadar, and many times throughout the Megillah we find the word Echa, and it's very consistent that the word Echa. So the Gemara says, Mipnei ma laku be'echa? Why were we punished with the word Echa? And the Gemara says, because the gematria of Echa is 36. Aleph and Yud is 11. Chaf is 20, which is 31 plus 5 hey at the end is 36. Echa's gematria 36. And there are 36 Isurim in the Torah, 36 Lavin in the Torah, that the punishment for those Lavin is Krisus. So Klal Yisrael was over on the Lamed Vav Krisus, on the 36 Averis in the Torah, which have Krisus in them, and that's why they were sent into Galus. Because they were over on the 36 Isurim, which have punishment of Krisus, therefore they're sent into Galus. And the obvious question is, Krisus has its own punishment. Punishment of Kares. Why should we go into Galus? Because we're over in Esau Krisus. Krisus is Kares and Galus is Galus. What does Krisus have to do with Galus? Why is the reason, one of the reasons why Kares all went into Galus, because they were over on Lamed Vav Krisus, the 36 Lavim, which have an Esau Krisus. Why the punishment for Krisus? Why not give them Krisus? Why do they have to give them Galus? So we have to understand, what does it mean, Krisus? Krisus means to be disconnected. Not to be Dovuk Bashem. When your person is over an Isser that has a Chiv of Karis on it, he creates a barrier between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He creates a disconnection between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he detaches himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our strive and our goal and our objective as Yidden is to make our bodies and our gufim and our neshamas more davak b'Hashem. That's what we strive for. And the more davak b'Hashem as possible, the more we become davak in Hashem, the greater we become. The more ruchnias you add in your life, the more davak you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when a person has krisas, unfortunately, it's the exact opposite. Karis means to be cut off. Karis means to cut and to split and to make a barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klal Yisrael was over on Lamed Vav krisas. That created a disconnection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That created detachment, that created a krisus. And when you disconnect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from that Dveikus B'Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that away from you. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that every single night a Baskel goes out and cries out, Oy Labanim Shagalu Me'al Shulchan Avihim. A Baskel comes out and cries, woe is to my children that have been exiled from their father's table. Woe is to Klal Yisrael that are not sitting anymore at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Kvod HaShechina, with all the Nisan that came with it. Shulchan Aviyah, we're not sitting at our father's table. When a person, imagine to yourself, a king with a son, son sitting at the father's table with his family, and a king provides for the son, a king gives to the son, a king helps him, and then the son is exiled, and the son did something wrong and goes far away from the kingdom. And the king yearns for the son to come back. When will my son come back? Oy lebanim shagalu me'ashulchan avihim. Klal Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash sat by the Shechina, sat with the Shechina, sat with the Beis HaMikdash. And then they were taken away. They were taken away out into Galus. And every single night, it happens even 2013, July 4th, with all the fireworks, it happens. Oy lebanim shagalu me'ashulchan avihim. That cry comes out from the Baskol. And it says, woe is to my sons that are in Galus from the Shulchan Avihim. In the Sefer from Rassim Bachfeigel, it says, in Lekad Rishimas, it brings down that the family of Rav Nassim Bachla used to say that Rav Nassim used to sit all 3 weeks long and in the 9 days and during Tisha B'Av, and he would cry to himself these words, Oy lebanim shagalu me'ashulchan avihim, Oy lebanim shagalu me'ashulchan avihim, woe is to my sons that are in Galus. And he used to be mitzayer and picture in his mind, what does it mean to be at the shulchan of your father with the Mishchina, with the Kavod, the Beis HaMikdash, and be there with all the Nisim? And he would picture it in his mind and he would think to himself, what does it mean to be there? And now that we're not there anymore, and how much it hurts HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not there, and how much it should hurt us, and how much we should mourn over it. So what is Galus? Galus is being detached from our father's table. Galus is not being there at the Shulchan Avihim. Galus is not being connected. When a person, a child, is Samech al Shulchan Avihim, his father supports him, his father gives him, he's connected with his father, he's attached to his father, he's Davak B'Hashem. But Galus is when you are not there, when you are disconnected, when you are far from your father, when you're Oy Lebanim Shagalu Me'ashulchan Avihim. This is the Yesod of Galus. The Yesod of Galus is detachment, being sent away from this Shulchan, feeling disconnected from the Borei Olam. When Klal Yisrael was over on these Lamed Vav krisis, these 36 Lav in the Torah that have krisis, then Klal Yisrael has already started the process. They started the process of being detached. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you start the process of being detached from me by being over in krisis, by creating barriers, creating a disconnection, then it's very easy for Klal Yisrael to fall and to go into galus. With this understanding of galus, now we have to understand, so what is geula? What is geula? What does it mean to be redeemed? How could we become how could we get the geula? What's the key to geula? What's the secret to geula? And Netzach Yisrael, the Maral in Perek Kavtes, he brings a mechilta in Parsha Shemais. And the mechilta in Parsha Shemais, and I'll quote him, says, and the Maral is explaining Bolivar Milos Amuna, and he says the, and he brings the quotes the mechilta says, Lakach Omar Shahagolus Galuyos Miskansos Bizchos Amuna. Many schusim where we know that why Mashiach, when Mashiach is going to come. But one of them is, the Mechilta tells us, that the Golos are going to be miskansos, there's going to be, I think that word is ingathering, of exiles, when? With the schus of emuna, with the schus of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And right away when I saw the Mechilta, the first thing that popped into my mind, and I'll tell you the first thing that popped into my mind, was, and I'll tell you with the following story, famous story, the Chavetz Chaim, when the Beis HaLevi was asked to become the Rav of Brisk. And they sent him a letter, they sent a delegation, and they sent the delegation to Beis HaLevi, and they said, come be the Rav of Brisk. And the Beis HaLevi says, no way, I'm not stopping my learning to become the Rav of Brisk. They sent him a second letter, and he says, no, I'm not coming. The third delegation, the third letter said that there are 10,000 people in Brisk waiting for you to become the Rav. And the Beis Halevi says, if there's 10,000 people waiting for me to become the Rav, he put on his kapata and he went and he moved to the town of Brisk to become the Rav, and the rest is history. They told the Chavetz Chaim this story. And the Chavetz Chaim thought, and the Chavetz Chaim said, that imagine if we would have all of Klal Yisrael come to the Rabbeinu Shalom and say, we are millions of people waiting for Mashiach to come. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't turn us down. Just like the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi couldn't turn them down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be able to turn us down. The first time I saw this Mechilta, I said, B'schus HaEmunah means our belief, simple belief in the Pesukim that tell us that there will be Mashiach will come. That the Animam of Emunah Shalema is true. That there will be a time. It might be Achakalei B'chol Yom Sheyaveh. It might be very far from us. And we don't see it and it's not clear. But we have to really believe that Mashiach would come. V'schus that Emunah, Mashiach will come, as the Chavetz Chaim is telling us. If we taka really believe and we're mitzafim Yeshua, then Mashiach will taka come. That's the schus of Emunah. As my Zaydi Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, why do we say Karbanis? Why did Chazal set up in the Siddur to say Karbanis, the Amir is Karbanis? The reason why we say Karbanis, he says, is to help us be maimin that Mashiach will come. When we say the Karbanis and we say them and we live them and we realize that there is a Beis HaMikdash and the Mashiach will come and we will bring those Karbanis again, that's helping us believe that Mashiach will come. And when a person is maimin, Mashiach will come, then the Baruch Hashem brings Mashiach to come, brings the Geula. But Rabbi Yochanan and the Maral explains a little different. What does it mean, B'schos Emunah? That one of the ways to be Zaycha is B'schos Emunah, Sha'agolius Miskansis B'schos Emunah. And the Maral explains that what is Emunah? Emunah, says the Maral, Ki Emunah hu devekus bo yisparach mikol v'kol. Emunah, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasher hu maimin bo yisparach, when a person believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavo, with all his heart, u'v'chol nafshe, in all his soul, ki zehu inyinu Emunah, that is what Emunah is, u'lekach homash ha'agolius miskansis b'schus Emunah, that's what it means, that the golos will gather together because of the schus of Emunah. Ki zehu inyinu that a person leaves his own domain, his own rishus, when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, the Pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, the Pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear Hashem, and you should serve Him, and in Him you should attach yourself. What is the mitzvah of Ubay Sidbuk? The Rambam tells us that Ubay Sidbuk means you should attach yourself to Talmid Chachamim. The Meshech Chachma wants to explain something else. And he says that what does it mean, Ubay Sidbuk? If someone comes over to you and tells, where in the Torah is there a mitzvah to have trust in Hashem and to believe in Hashem, to believe Amunah and be talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Meshech Chachma that it's written in these two words, Ubay Sidbuk, and in him you should attach yourself. Where? And he explains that there are three types of bitachon, three types of trust that a person has in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a trust, like a person trusts, a nation trusts in their king. The king worries about his subjects. That's the trust that we have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu Malkeinu, he's our king. Then there's another trust, the trust of a woman has on her husband. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worries about us. He tries to save us like a husband would do for a wife. Hu Yeshienu. And then there's a third trust, Hu Avinu, that he's our father. When you are, the bitachon that a melech has, a son has, a trust in his father, the king. It's a much greater trust when a son has a trust in his father, who is the king. And that's those three. Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Meishiyenu. Those three things are betachon at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubay Sidbuk means when you feel that you are under complete control from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more in control of yourself, more than you are about yourself. And He takes care of you more than you can take care of yourself. That's attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Ubay Sidbuk, and with Him you should connect with by having belief that everything you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you become totally connected to Hashem, you become so excited with every level of ruchnius that you can possibly get, with more dveikus in Hashem, with more attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you forget all the earthly pleasures of this world, because you realize that the most exciting thing, the most pleasurable thing, is to become more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if someone wants to ask you, what is the mitzvah, where is it saying the Torah, to have trust in Hashem? The answer says, the Meshech Chachma is in Ubay Sidvak. Attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means believing that everything you have is in His control, and He is worried about you more than you are worried about yourself. Taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you more than you could take care of yourself. And the Maral explains this, as we said, that when a person forgets about Koichi Ba'etzem Yadi, when a person is sitting in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's sitting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, it's not my domain, it's not my Koichi Ba'etzem Yadi, it's not my business deal, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if Galus is detachment, Galus is krisus, Galus is when we create a barrier between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oy lebanim shagalu, that we're away from our father's table, being sent away, then Geula is reattachment. But Geula is coming together and attaching yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more you believe, the more closer you get with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you create that those krisus are taken away, and the more dveikus you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you are Boy Sidbuk, the more you become Davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's once a story with Reb Chatzka Levenshtein, I might have said it here before, that I heard the story from my father that Reb Chatzka was sent to Siberia for many years, and he was stuck in Siberia. And he was sentenced to work in a barn, in a stable. And he was there with another Yid. And in the stable there was a terribly foul odor. Terrible, terrible smell in the stable. And they had to live there and clean it and stay there. That was their job, and that's where they stayed. And when there's a terrible odor, a terrible smell, one is not allowed to daven or to learn Torah, and is not allowed to have any type of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's a terrible smell. There's a terrible smell. You're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to daven. So for many, you're not allowed to say brachas. So for many years, or for however long he was there, he didn't say brachas, and he didn't daven, and they didn't learn. And after a number of months, the Yid who was staying there with Reb Chatzka Levenshtein, the Mashkiach, Panamish Mashkiach, turns to him and he says to him, how could you go on anymore? We're not learning, we're not davening, we're not saying brachas. What are we worth? What are we worth? What can we do here? This is terrible. This is such a terrible life. It's not worth living such a life of not having any connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Chatzka turns to him and he says, I'll say it in Yiddish, Trachten wegen Emuna is a Kleinigkeit. He says, you can't learn, you can't daven, but you can think in Amunah, it's a small thing. Trachten wegen Amunah, thinking about Amunah is something small. He says, think in your mind about Amunah. Think about in you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Think in your mind how all the facets of the world come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Think in your mind Amunah. Then you're allowed to think about it, even if the smell is bad. Then even if you can't think about anything else. He says, that's not life. That's life. That's Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's being davar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you attach HaKadosh, when your person has Emunah, when a person believes that he's in control, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, then he has everything. He has Dveikus Hashem, and he can continue his life even if he doesn't have the living, the brachas and the Torah and the learning. So Emunah is in every hour of our day. We have Emunah in every business deal that we have. We have Emunah when we're sitting in traffic. We have belief that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. When you're on your cell phone and you lose the call and you get so upset, someone takes your parking spot. You have to build your Emunah right there, being davar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're on the phone and the other person's cell phone is not working, you ever see those? You see someone screaming at you, how come you can't hear me? I'm in Maria that the cell phone doesn't work. And that's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not getting upset is believing that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in control. When someone cuts the line for you in the store, and instead of getting upset at him, you realize that I'm a Maimon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that that's a man in control. You missed the sale in the store, and you have to pay more money. That's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The baby wakes up at night. That's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you get a traffic ticket from a policeman, that's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is believing. Not getting upset. Not taking and understanding that you're not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of you more than you can take care of yourself. Every single time, every little step, more Dveikus Hashem, more Dveikus Hashem, more attachment to Hashem, more Emunah, more Zchus Galus Miskanses, B'Zchus Emunah, the more attachment you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more you're Saimach Al Shulchan Aruch, the more you rely on your father, the more you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more Dveikus you have. The Tosefta in Menachos says, Tosefta in the end of Menachos says, Yerushalayim binyan harishon v'pnei macharva, what's the first reason of the Chorban for the first Beis HaMikdash? V'pnei avodas kechavim, gilui arayis, shvichas dam, and shayu b'secha. Because of the three, gimel averes chamurais, gilui arayis, avodas kechavim, avodas zara, and shvichas dam. Avo b'acharayna, But in the second Beis HaMikdash, Anu Bahen Shehein Makir Manu Bahen, we recognize in them Shehem HaMelem B'Torah, that they were learning Torah. It was the Hirin B'Maisers, and they were careful about Maiser. B'Pnei Ma Galu, why were they sent into Galus? B'Pnei, because She'oyhavim Es Mamaynam, they loved their money. The Sinan Ishtarei Eyu, and they hated, and they had a hatred each man to his friend. The Sefta in Menachas spells it out. When you're Oyev Es Mamaynam, when you're anxious about your money, when it's a Bahala, confusion, and you're quickly about it, and you make these rash decisions about, because you need to save your money, and you go quickly, and you move, and everything is around, Chibav Es Mamaynam, loving money, and Oyev Es Mamaynam, that's showing a lack of Emunah. That's showing a lack of Dveikus Bashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. And that's what creates a disconnection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we were sent into Golus in the first place in the Beis HaMikdash. We had a weak connection. So, the Bnei God of Bnei Ruven, as we started off, they were Oyev and Mesel Amayinah. They wanted to do great things with their money, but they went very quickly. They were Mechav Mesel Amayinah. They gave up in Eretz Yisrael because of their money. And because of that, they had a lack of Emunah. They were one step behind the rest of Klal Yisrael in their Dveikus Bashem. And when you're already weak in that connection, so it's very easy to break the connection when the Galus comes, when they're sent into exile for the first out of all the Shvatim, because they were already weak in their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they had a little bit lack of Emunah in their fact that they showed him that Bahala, that confusion, that anxiousness, that Chibuv Es Mamaynam, they love their money. That's what caused them to have a lack of Emunah, lack of connection, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to take them away first. And the way we're Zoicha to come back is with that Zichus of Emunah, with that Dveikus Bashem, every little bit counts. But the Sefta also says one more thing, the sin in Ishtar Re'eyu, when one hates a man, when one hates someone else, has sinas chinam. And Rabbi Aaron says in another Shmuz, that not liking someone, arguing with someone, having sinas chinam, is also a lack of Emunah. It's also a lack of believing. When you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, so when you see a friend across the street that has a fancier car than you and you're jealous than him, that's a lack of Emunah, because you don't have it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that you shouldn't have it. You were chosen and picked and selected not to have the fancier car from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you believe that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not jealous. When you believe everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone says something not nice to you, so instead of getting upset at him, you understand that this person was sent to give you something not nice, but it has nothing to do with that person. That's belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You put something down to bring yourself up. Lashon Hara, when you give someone a bad word, that's putting yourself up through sinas chinam. That's lack of emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in your spot, not to make others feel bad, but to do the best that you could in your own spot. And this is the secret formula for Gula. This is the key. One of the keys to Geula. The key to the Geula is, let everyone know about it. Show it in your family, show it to your wife, show it to your friends and your neighbors. Show them that you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Emunah. You have a Dveikus Bashem. Nothing will stare you, nothing will bother you, because you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running your life more than you can run your life, more than you can run yourself. A person keeps all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and he believes that he's supposed to do all of them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu, Malkeinu, is Moshiyenu, and that's what he wants from us. He wants us to do the mitzvahs. So we have to be Makayim the mitzvahs, we have to be Makayim Emunah. There's a story of Rabbi Yosef Zundel of Salant, that he owned a fabric shop, and he sold fabric, and of course, he sat and learned, and his wife ran the shop. And he used to go around, and once a few times a year, go to the market and buy the material, and his wife used to sell it in the store. One year, his wife says, listen, I want you to go to the shuk, to the market, to the fair in Kovno, and there you're going to buy cheap fabric. You're going to buy fabric at a cheap price, because in the fair they sell. You're going to buy tons of it for the whole entire year, and that way, if we buy it at a cheaper price, we'll make more profit and we'll have more money to live and be prosperous and be able to sit and learn b'menuchas ha-nefesh. So Rabbi Yosef Zundel didn't really want to go, but he says, okay, I'll go. And he went with a group of fabric merchants, and they went to the fair in Kovno. Rabbi Yosef Zundel gets to Kovno, and he says, hey, the market is open for a week. I don't have to go the first day to the market. Let me go to the Beis Medrash and learn. And the first day goes by, and he sits in the Beis Medrash and he learns. The second, the third, the fourth, the last day, Rabbi Yosef says, I'll go the last day. I'll get the cheap price on the last day. What do I have to go? Just get the cheap price on the first day. I can get the cheap price on the last day. And as you're probably thinking already, he gets to the last day, and there's no more cheap fabric left. It's all gone. So the most expensive cloths are the only ones that are on sale at the end of the fair. So he was there and he had to buy, so he bought up whatever he could and the most expensive cloths. He comes back home, most expensive material, and his wife is sad. And his wife says to him, "What'd you do? I sent you to get the cheapest stuff and you brought the most expensive. There's no one in our town that's going to buy expensive cloth. We're out of business." He says, "Once in a while someone comes in, buys some cloth, but there's nothing. No one's going to buy expensive cloth. We're never going to make our money back." And Rabbi Yosef says, "Hashlech al Hashem yohavcha. Throw yourself upon Hashem. Hashem will give you. Hashem will provide for you. Have emunah. Believe in Hashem. We're not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me do. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me make that decision. And this is the best decision for us." And sure enough, a few weeks later, a rich man comes in and he's making a wedding and he's there to buy only the best cloth, and he buys up all their cloth and they have panasa for that year, even with the best cloth. A person that's davik by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is davik with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of his emunah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him that connection and reconnects him. So we learned today that the Rabbanan told us that the more Kedusha you bring into your life, that's the better decision. You want to make a decision, the more Kedusha you bring, what brings you the most Kedusha, that's the best decision a person could make. And the chizuk that we have in Emuna, the key to Geula with Emuna is Shagolus Miskansiris Bischus Emuna, means that the Golus will come together because we have becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Golus, and for us to mourn, and unfortunately, and hopefully we won't mourn this year on Tisha B'Av, we won't have to go through the 9 days, we won't have to go through that Avelos. But what are we mourning about right now? We're mourning about that we're disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not there with the Kavod HaShechinah. And what do we need to do? We need to strengthen our Emuna to become more davak by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more attached. Every second of Emuna is more attachment. May we be zaycha that the chizuk today, tonight's Emuna, bring us to be zaycha to what Chazal say, that the galus are miskanseis b'schos HaEmuna.